031 Bible Study, Open Doors, 18th of April 2012.
Pray for these works, pray for these countries. Well, we do have a prayer chart, and we gave out some bookmarks, and Helen did, because Helen's Open Doors sort of secretary, really. And we can continue to pray for these countries, these people, Christians that live in them. You know, in every country there are Christians right throughout the world, aren't there? Mm-hmm. And some of them you hear very little about. Your country, for instance. When was it? I don't remember it ever being on the news, hardly. But you know, it's this persecution there, isn't there? Eritrea, and you just you don't realise what's going on. When we were in China just a few years back, the underground church is very strong, and we actually did meet a young girl who was part of the underground church, didn't we? And she said to us, the next time you come to China, I'll take you to the underground church. They haven't been back actually, but you know, the intention would have been that we would have gone. That would have been a tremendous experience. Mm-hmm. And actually, in the city that we, where the exhibition was that we went to visit, in Guangzhou as it's called, there is a Christian bookshop now, which is amazing, really. It's a token, I suppose, but there is a Christian bookshop, and there's quite a strong underground Christian church as well in that area. It's a big city, and I don't know how many million people are in it, but obviously there's a leader as well in the churches in China now, the underground churches, and he's so well known that they basically dare not arrest him anymore. He's been in prison that many times. But now he's such a high-profile personality, if you want, but they don't dare arrest him anymore. So it's interesting that these things go on. But these are all areas for a matter for prayer in church and in our own personal time. And it's good when we can set time aside and we can pray for our brothers and sisters in these nations. Because that's what we're talking about. It's not about skin colour, it's not about culture, it's the fact that these are our brothers and sisters, and they pray for us, and thank God for that. And you know, we should pray for them. Their needs to some degree are greater than ours. We have different needs, and We think we're struggling until you see some of the pictures that we see on these DVDs and begin to realise that there are some great needs, and God needs His people to do something where we can. And I thank God for this church, that even in the fact that at the moment we're going out to Romania, this will be our, I've lost count now, is it the fourth trip for me? Fourth trip out there. Mm-hmm. And just to see the effect that you can have on people's lives with just small things, and see their lives being changed and being blessed, and see them encouraged by the fact that you actually are prepared to go out there and try and spend some time with them, and even try to communicate with them. It's they are so touched by that, and so moved by the fact that you show caring, even in a small way. When we went to visit the old people's hospital, they just were so moved by people just going to see them, because basically people are not going to see them. Their families have put them away, stolen their houses off them, put them in a hospital and left them, and nobody cares for them. It's tragic, really. And these people sometimes say they're Christians.
Yeah.
But that problem, isn't it? The love of money is the root of all evils. And as we can reach out in different ways, we touch lives, we affect lives, we change lives for the better, and we give them hope to their faith as well. That their faith is their believing God, that when they see people coming along or they receive gifts like at Christmas time in Romania, it just gives them that extra hope and encouragement that somebody is praying for them, somebody does care somewhere for them. It may not be in their own nation at times to a great degree, but somebody somewhere is reaching out and caring for them, and that's a real blessing. In fact, this week we've picked up another £68 on clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God, so that's great. So we've gathered some more, and it's all going towards the work, and thank God for that. And the dental equipment, I called somebody the other day. Well, I sent him an email, and he asked, because I'd lost his phone number, and he called me back to tell me that they had got a truck going out to Romania, and it would be in Romania before we got there with the goods. Now, last year he told me they weren't doing any more trucks because of their age. That was the last truck. I caught the last truck out last time. Well, it turns out that for some reason, he did tell me why, but he won't be driving it, but they've got somebody else to go out and drive a truck, and he said, we can put our stuff on there. So, the timing is absolutely amazing. And I was looking for this guy's phone, I couldn't find it, looking for his website, couldn't find it, and I'd managed not to delete an email that I'd had from him, and it took me ages to find it, and I found it, and I thought, I'll try this, see if he'll answer it. And I sent him an email, and he rang me within the next couple of days, and we got chatting and that, and I thought, well, talk about God just being there right on time.
You notice, don't you, God working in things.
I
mean, you thought you may be going yourself at a certain time you'd picked. But
well, that's another thing, Joan, yeah, exactly. We think we've picked this time,
but
God has already arranged that time, and he's just going to make sure that you actually go on that time, that he directs you to that time, but he'd already planned it, because he'd already planned that there was a truck going out to take the equipment.
Mm.
It's fantastic.
When does it have to be ready?
It's got to be down there by the 27th of April, I think. So it's got to be quick.
A week on Friday.
Yeah, I think it's a week on Friday.
That's
when we've
got work.
Yeah.
So.
I think I was going to get us some more tea bags.
Well, we if we make a bit of an extra effort, and then we can get some more things together.
Yeah.
And
got that stuff Joel's given.
There's some stuff in the garage as well. That's a few bits and pieces. So it's just fantastic how God suddenly just opens these doors and that. So it is amazing what God is doing. And as you say, sometimes we think we're planning it, and actually God has already just said, you just fall in with my plans, and I'll show you what I can do. And our lives are in God's hand, and as we allow him to do it, it gets so exciting, because
it takes the pressure off.
Yeah, you just let God do what he's going to do, and you just have to. It's this thing of resting in God and knowing that he can come through. He will do it. He will do it. The book, Brother Andrew, is a real encouraging book. I've just lent it out to somebody else. What did I give it to?
I was going to ask somebody else.
Wasn't it Liz? Didn't you take Brother Andrew's book?
That black
book. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got another book off John. If you want it, John, I'll give you it. But I've got that one you give me.
Oh,
passing the book trail. So. Yes, that's another good book, Megashift. That is, when it tells about the work that is going on in different countries throughout the world, and how the mission work of, in churches and the mission of Christ is just spreading, because it has to fulfil the prophecy in Daniel.
In Daniel.
Yeah, we go right back to the Old Testament in Daniel. If you grab your Bibles or something.
Can I just, while you're finding that, when Jolene was speaking on Sunday, what the scripture that hit me there was Exodus 2 and verse 12, the principle we've seen tonight. And it said, but the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites.
Oh.
And that's God's principle, isn't it? The more they persecute the church, the more it grows. You can't stamp God's word out.
Yeah.
Those people.
What was that, Grace? Exodus 1, verse 12.
We said that on Sunday, didn't we, Grace? They said that they persecuted the church, and all the persecuted
the
church. Yeah, the more
the principle's right back there in Exodus 1. The more they persecuted the Israelites, the stronger they grew.
Yeah.
You'd think, you know,
God's ways are opposite to ours, aren't
they?
You'd think of the
dwindle,
wouldn't you? You'd think, oh, we're not going to get Christians.
And it is so true that God is a God of the impossible. That's how God proves that he is God. Because if the circumstances that people are involved in are possible, then they will claim, oh well, we did it ourselves.
Yeah.
But when it's an impossible situation, God says, it's just the thing that I can deal with. And all that happens is, I just had a thought. You know, the Jewish people would never speak the name of God, and they always said the name of God was like their breath. And to us, that's the sound of the letter H, isn't it? Well, if it's impossible, stick the in front of it, and it's him possible.
Mm.
H-I-M possible. It's him, God, him, and it's possible. Amen?
Yeah, every
and
time.
And that's what it's about, you see. When the world says it's impossible, we say, it is impossible. Yeah. And God moves. The breath of God will move and change things. Because the word of God is powerful. The word of God changes people's destiny. And that's so true. There are people who've come through this church and the word of God has changed their destiny.
Yeah.
And that is powerful. The word is life. And that is so exciting. So if you turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And verse 35. And this is about this great big statue, and that's in verse 32. It says the head was made of fine gold, its breasts and arms were of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay, a mixture. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands. That's the interesting bit. You see, what you have to remember is the word of God is written as a mystery. It's not written to be read just purely be read. It needs to be the mysteries of the word of God have to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. It's hidden from natural man. And it says there that you continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands. How's that happen? Wow. And it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. And then there's verse 35. Then the iron and the clay, the bronze, the silver and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried it away so that not a trace of them was found. I remember the first time that we went away on holiday, Grace and I, travelling, camping in a little sports car, and we went down to Turkey. And Turkey was a little backward 30 years ago. And we were out somewhere in the villages, and there was a man there winnowing the seeds. Mm-hmm. And he got his fork and he was throwing it up in the air, and you could see the wind was carrying away the chaff. Mm-hmm. And straight away your mind immediately comes back to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, that God comes and he removes the chaff. And when you read this and you see, and the wind carries them away, without a trace of them is found. This is what God does to his enemies. He carries them away without a trace. Mm. And that's so precious. Now the next bit. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That stone was the Lord Jesus Christ. That precious stone was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came and he struck at the system and at the statue and everything that stood for Antichrist and anti-God. And he destroyed the enemy. And it says, that stone. Remember he said to Peter, you're on the rock. You are the rock. And on this rock. Now, he wasn't talking about Peter when he said on this rock. He was talking about the statement that Peter made when he said, thou art the Christ. That's the rock. That statement is the rock that seals all things. Thou art the Christ. And on that statement, Jesus says, and on that statement, powerful. Everything is built. Our faith is built on that very statement. Thou art the Christ. Without that statement, we are going nowhere. There are many people called Jesus, but they're not meant that, you know, there's only one Christ.
Amen.
There's only one Christ. There's only one God's Son. And on that statement, Jesus says, and upon that rock, that statement of that, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. On that statement, that is a rock that is so powerful, and it is that rock, that stone that started there, that was revealed in the dream to Daniel. This dream, to the king, that Daniel brought the interpretation hundreds of years before it happens. And on that statement, it's already God is showing his hand that I'm going to build my church on a rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus. And so that's what he's saying. The church, the faith, the gospel message, the message of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, according to this dream that the king had, and according to Daniel's interpretation, it will fill the whole earth.
Amen.
Praise God. You can get excited if you want. It's all right. You know,
get excited.
Yeah. Just begin to see it happening. You know, churches springing up everywhere. In all of these countries that we've seen tonight, the gospel is being preached. The word of God is getting there. A million Bibles went into China one night. Believe it or not, they even print English Bibles in China now and export them.
Yeah.
I have Bibles that are printed in China and bound in Belgium or somewhere like that, but they've been printed in China.
And
now
we smuggle them back in.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, we have to smuggle them back in, yeah, because you see, obviously, they take strict rules and regulations to try and make sure that these Bibles stay within the confines and move them out. But I'm sure if there's some of them disappear into China. But then again, you see, the Chinese people, they're getting more and more speaking English as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But obviously, to have Bibles in their own language, particularly out in the villages. And there are many, many thousands of, if not millions of small villages where people live who don't speak English. And the message of the Word of God has got to go out there. But Daniel says, through this prophetic interpretation, this stone, this message, it will fill the whole earth. Praise God. That is fantastic.
I've just had a thought about that, Andrew. When you hear about Muslims, you think they seem to be getting bigger and more of them. But when you come to think, that's like the devil, like a roaring lion. So you see, the devil's letting us think that the Muslims are taking over, but it's just wind and whatever.
Surprising how many Muslims are converting to Christianity.
Mm. But that other night, that pastor's though, a man that had gone to Muslim, he was a white man, and this girl had gone to be a Muslim, and the family couldn't understand it, and they didn't think anything of it because she'd gone to be a Muslim. I thought, I can't understand them going to Muslims, because they're not reading, you know, the Quran sort of thing. It's supposed to be all violence, and that's why I can't understand them going to that. But then,
I think there's a lot of Quran and Old Testament.
Mm.
Yes.
You know, it's...
But praise God. I mean, we have to realise that as we look at the Word of God and we let the Word of God begin to reveal itself to us, that God said he will crush these kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen, if you go through this, you'll see that the kingdoms of Babylon, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians were next.
Then
Greece came. Alexander the Great, you see. I mean, he was a powerful man.
Yeah.
I mean, what was he, 21, 22, when he conquered the then known world?
Mm.
Didn't live too long, but what he achieved as a young man was tremendous in that sense. But yet, his empire came to nothing. The Romans moved in.
Yeah,
and they are the iron. And they conquered, and then they ended up dividing amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And finally, and it all falls through its own corruption.
Yeah.
Rome fell through its own corruption.
Yeah,
corruption that hatred, greed, malice, jealousy, all these things are based on demonic forces. But you know, the kingdom of God is based on love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unity.
And the unity of the body of Jesus Christ, and it's growing, and it's growing, and it may seem quiet at times, and in some countries it has to be underground, but it is still growing. It's like the roots of a tree. There is more underground than there is on top.
That's right.
And they do, they go out much further, and they connect with other roots from other trees. And the Word of God is going out, and it's good, and it will fill the whole earth.
It will, no doubt. It says in further on in that chapter, in verse 45, just as you saw that a stone was cut from the mountain, not by hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has informed King Nebuchadnezzar what shall happen hereafter. This dream is certain and its interpretation trustworthy.
Well, what will take place in the future? Not, by the way, like they tell us on the news, this could happen. It doesn't say this could happen.
No.
It doesn't say this may happen, because that is doubt.
Yeah.
it may not. It could not. But here, the word of God is absolutely emphatic and says, what will take place in the future. So the dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy.
Yeah.
And we've moved on 2000 and I don't know when Daniel, I can't remember exactly when Daniel was written. So I don't have a date in my Bible.
AD 537.
Okay. So we're about 2,500 years later on. And we can look back in history and see that the Roman Empire has been brought down. We can see that the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the rock, has been spread throughout the whole world. And now we've got satellites, etc., and it's even more being spread throughout the whole world, to people, to villages, to nations, that they've got, they don't allow Bibles to come in, shall we say, through the physical doors, but the word of God just passes through the airwaves. And that is fabulous. They can't, they're not stopped, they're not able to stop that. They've tried. They've tried. But you see, God is doing a great thing. And this, you know, this is from a prophecy over 2,500 years ago. And we're still seeing that prophecy being fulfilled today. Does God
snowball?
It is. That's a good analogy. Like a snowball. And it's still growing and growing. Because it says that this gospel, this stone, this faith, this Jesus Christ will fill the whole earth, because the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it, and it belongs to him. And that is so wonderful. And guess what? This is done, or has been done, and is being done in one sense without the hand of man. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God himself at work that brings this to birth and causes all of this to go on. And like we were saying earlier, when we think we've got things organised, God says, you don't have a clue. Because I don't know what's going on in Wales. I didn't even know the phone number. But God knew we'd a need to move some equipment. And God has made a way when it was actually becoming difficult, because there are some custom issues that I needed to get sorted out. And you know, in that contact with Wales, all those dilemmas have actually been sorted out. Amazing. Absolutely. Everything's been sorted. And the goods will be delivered to Arad, and Pastor Daniels will pick them up, and they'll be there before we get there. Which is exactly right. Timing is so perfect. God's never early and he's never late. Always on time. So
I read a book, Andrew, about ravens still fly. It was somebody from Ireland. He used to take things out to Jewish people in Italy and different places. And he were going there, they were taking these lorries, and they couldn't get through immigration, you know, all customs and that, and all passport things. And he said, they kept praying in this room anyway. They said they were going on strike, these customs. So he went down and had a word with this customs man. And as we were talking to him, he found out his wife come from Ireland. And when he knew he come from Ireland and that, and of course he says, oh, I'll get your things soon. He come straight through. As soon as they got through, they all went on strike for about a week and more after they got through. But God just put that, he went to speak to somebody, and it was this man. And it just happened that his wife were Irish and everything fitted in together. God just knew we were there at the right time.
Just takes one little thing, doesn't it? It takes the most insignificant thing. And gives you a miracle.
Absolutely. God is so good. We don't you know, we don't realise the vastness and the power that God has, and these abilities that he's able to do great and mighty things, and we limit God with our own thinking. I mean, even just these few verses of scripture over 2,500 years ago, and this is prophesying, this is declaring that that which is trying to stand against the church, that which is trying to resist the church, to bring a global control, will be destroyed.
Yeah.
God is at work.
Mm. Yeah.
God is at work. He came and he did it just through his only son.
I was just thinking that about 5 minutes since I thought, when I thought about it, when I read the Bible, I thought, Lord, I thought you'd have waited till you got more people involved before. No, he just knew how to do it, when to do it. God and then Jesus and then all the disciples. There didn't seem to be many people, and yet it's spread and spread.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just moving throughout the whole world. Mm. You see, we would plan and we would try and get a load of people together.
Mm.
But how many people went to China? With David, not David Livingstone, with
Hudson
Taylor. Mm-hmm. Just him and his family.
Yeah.
A vast country like that. And just he went, mm-hmm. and his family. Livingstone. Yeah. How many people went with him to Africa? Just him and his family. And began to spread the word. And we look at Africa today. And we see the work that's been done. You know, we've got Ruth in.
Millions.
Because of David Livingstone.
Yeah.
There
is a young man, he's in London now, I think. He came to preach Ethiopian people and Eritrean people. And he came sometime last year also. I phoned him, somebody gave me his number, and he was praying over the phone. And he said, the last will be the first. So now we came back to Europe,
yep.
to preach. That's what he said to me.
I believe that to be true.
So if you go to Ethiopia now, those people, they give up their house to be a church.
Mm.
That much their faith is.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic what, you know, what people will do for the gospel sake. And I gave up a career in manufacturing and engineering and steel foundry. I don't regret it.
Mm.
You know, gave up company car and all. I don't regret it. Because I knew it was God that was calling me to do it. There were people who said I was making a wrong decision. Well, 30 years later or more, I'm still alive. I still look good, I think, don't I?
Still traveling as much.
Still, I'm traveling as much, if not more, than I did then.
Good job she's on that side of the table.
but you know, you look at that, I look at that and I think, wow. And God has never, ever let us down. And I can honestly say we've always sought to put Jesus first, put his work first. And that in doing that, he's always taken care of us in some way, some form, somehow. And he's never let us down. And I know this much, he won't. Because his word says he's the same yesterday, today and forever. So what he did for me yesterday and what he's done today, he will do tomorrow.
Amen.
He doesn't change. And that this prophecy in Daniel 2, God will fill that prophecy, that dream, that interpretation of what God is going to do is and will continue to come true and to come to its full purpose. That is a certainty. Because God is not a man that he should lie. And Daniel did not give the interpretation of his own thinking, but the interpretation came from God himself. To Daniel. So Daniel's just the mouthpiece. He's not the one who dreamt it up.
It had to be God, because the king Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't even tell him what the dream was.
Well, that's right, yeah.
So he had to ask God for the dream.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And that is even more incredible, isn't it? The fact that the king said, I had a dream and it troubled me. What was the dream, king? You go and find out and tell me what it means. Yeah, right, okay, how am I going to do that? And all these wizards and astrologers and whatever ologies he had all went away scratching their heads and worried and thinking, oh, what? Somebody's got to get the king. I can imagine them. They would all be sort of trying, how could we trick the king into just giving us a hint of what his dream was? And Daniel went and he sought the God of all wisdom, the God of all knowledge, and the God of all revelation, and said, God, what was the dream? And will you give me the interpretation? And God gave him the dream and gave him the interpretation. Nobody else had it. Just one young man who had committed himself to serve God and not to worship idols. He would go 3 times a day and pray on his rooftop. He would throw his windows wide open and pray to God. It was banned. You're going to be locked up for it and thrown in the lion's den. So he said, bring on the lions. Bring on the lions. And so they did. And they had him cast into the lion's den. And he slept all night with a pride of hungry lions. He didn't hear the grumbling, he didn't hear the roaring of the lions, he heard the roarings of the stomachs. They hadn't been fed.
Yeah.
And he laid amongst them. Comfy, warm, you know, wonderful. That's what heaven's going to be like. You know, all these animals that we consider as being wild animals, I shall have a Bengali tiger. That I shall go around with. And then they took him out. The king came down at first light and ran shouting his name. Belshazzar, Belshazzar. Are you alive? Fret not, king. Fret not. All is well. Oh, good, get him out. Got him out. And then the next thing he says, where are those that have lied? Those that have accused him. Says, throw them in. Well, it was time for a banquet. And the lions ate well. God had closed the mouths of the lions. And I'll tell you, when there are lions against us, God will close the mouths of the lions. And the lions will end up devouring those that accuse us.
Even throw the children in though as well,
didn't they? Yeah, oh, it was a wipeout. You know, there was like, you know, because you see, in those days they looked at it that the whatever lies and deceit, it went right down through the family. So it was this cleansing process and you know, blotting them out to clear them out. And so, but the fact of the matter that the prophecy is still going on, that's what it is today, Bill. That's done. Is filling the whole earth, and it was prophesied in Daniel 2,500 years before it ever really happened. It's amazing. Well, not quite 2,500 years, 2,000 years, just 1,500 years, because obviously Rome fell, what, about 1,000 years ago, was it? Can't remember exactly. But when it fell, it fell. And the gospel, when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, began to spread, and it started just moving like that. Persecution came in, and people would say, naturally speaking, oh, that's not good. But the persecution pressed the church out into the nations, and they carried the word of God. So sometimes persecution is not always bad. Trials are not always bad. We in the Western world tend to think a trial is something that's bad. Why am I going through this? Because God is about to do something.
Yeah.
In you, through you, and for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but surely there's another way. If there was, God would do it another way. But there isn't. You can only become a warrior by learning how to fight, getting some hard knocks. The school of hard knocks. We don't like that. I've got a bruise on my arm here. Look at that, nurse. It really hurts, that one. I have no idea how I got it.
Perhaps you're too
affected. And it's like, oh, I just suddenly, one morning, found it. Whether Grace beat me up or in the night, I've no idea. Like, but, yeah. It's a school of hard knocks. Toughens you and you begin to, I'm going to press through this. I'm going to break. I am going to see breakthrough in this circumstance, this situation, because that is God's plan for us. His plan is for success. His plan is for breakthrough. His plan is that his word shall go through you and me in a very powerful way. His plan is that you will be a light on a hill.
Yeah.
Not hidden underneath a table, but on a hill. You place a light on a table. You place it in a high place so that it goes out all over the place and it affects all the areas in the room. And in the same way, the word of God has got to be lifted up and is sent out as a light to a nation that's in darkness and people who are in darkness. And this is what's happening with Open Doors. We're sending out, we're helping, we provide finance, they send out Bibles and other things, and that is sending out the light, and it is providing resources for these people to, in their own languages, to meet with their own people who know the territory, able to go and bring the word of God and see the power of God changing people's lives. And that's what we need to do. And we need to pray for them. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our own nation as well as we pray for these nations. Because if this nation will become strong again, this nation has carried the gospel. It has been part of that work of the stone. And it's not finished yet.
No.
It is not finished yet. Hallelujah. There is much more land to possess.
Yes.
So praise God. We're going to press on and believe God for more. Yes?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what it's about. So that's the stone bill. There it is. There's the prophecy. You know, so easy to read over these things and we miss what it's about, where it's coming from. But that's the stone. Precious stone of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he came. You know, it talks about Jesus, the stone that the builders rejected. And yet then it talks about him being the chief stone, the cornerstone, the capstone. The importance of him. You see, he's referred to as the stone because it all fits back into this prophecy in Daniel. It ties back to that constantly, that God is saying, look, I told this, I said this. And he foundation stone. And he revealed it to a heathen king. The heathen king had the dream, but the man of God brought the interpretation. Hallelujah. Let him dream, and we'll bring the interpretation. And let God work. Yes? So let him dream. And you pray for the interpretation. God, put me into contact with people who've been dreaming, and God, give me the interpretation for their dreams. And let me see your hand moving through these people's lives. And I'll tell you, you'll see people's lives being changed. God wants to use each and every one of you. All you have to do is begin to make yourself available and push out. Reach out for more than what you've got in God. Expect more. We have to expect more than what we've got right now. And as you expect, God will give to you. Pressed down, shaken together and running over. But where's your expectancy? You only come with a little bag. You're only going to get a little bag full. If you bring a trailer, it'll fill it. What are you bringing?
Forever.
You're bringing the trailer, are you? Yeah, praise you. Make sure the tyres are well blown up. You know, it's easy to push then. But these are the things, you see. Come with a great expectancy. And then when you've got what you've got has given you, begin to share it. And don't say, oh, it's only me. Or, that's not the point. Has God given you this? Then begin to share it in love to people. And as you share it, you bring life into people. And you change people's lives. And this, the problem today is the church is not evangelising, it's not sharing the word of God.
No.
It's gorging itself on its so-called worship and a measure of word, and that's all it's doing. It is gorging itself on that.
It's waiting for God.
And it's back to this old doctrine of waiting for God to take us out of the circumstance and situation. Well, he's not going to do it because he said... And this is another one that goes against rapture. This prophecy in Daniel. Yeah. This church, this stone will fill the whole earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not Jesus that's going to do it by himself.
No.
The church is going to do it and he's going to work through.
What did Jesus say to his disciples? Go out into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead and cast out demons. That's the Great Commission. What? Why? Because it's part of this here with Daniel's prophecy to go out and to reach and fill the whole earth.
Well, in Daniel 7 and Daniel 9 it talks about this kingdom will fill the whole earth.
Yeah, exactly.
And it prophesies the Messiah, Jesus. See, it prophesies the Messiah.
Daniel should be tied into Revelation.
It should. And Daniel gives a time. A timing that is absolutely perfect, and its number of years are complete in AD 27 when Jesus started his ministry for that last 7 days, Daniel, the last week. In AD 27 he got up and in Luke, is it Luke 4? He says, now is prophecy fulfilled in your ears.
Yeah.
When he read from the prophet
Isaiah.
Oh, yeah. And it was Daniel's prophecy that was fulfilled at that point when AD 27, when Jesus, the Messiah, was revealed.
It's fantastic. And yet people are putting everything on hold and they're waiting for the rapture. Well, don't bother. Let's enjoy life, let's live it and live it, and let's declare the works of a living God, and let's show the works of a living God. Signs, wonders and miracles. I believe in them. I live for them. I'm excited when I hear of signs, wonders and miracles, because it's what God is about. God is a miracle working God. When God said, let there be light, and there was light, is that not a miracle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a program on the other night about they were talking about different animals, weren't they? And they're sort of saying there's an animal similar to this one, but it's out here down in South Asia, down in Australia. Oh, they were in Australia, weren't they? And they were saying how that all the lands were together and they split and moved apart. Yeah, we know. God did it. God did it. You see it all in the book. But they don't, it evolved. These animals evolved with this. No. You've got it wrong. God created these things. God created. God put what was necessary within these animals to live and to breathe and to survive. Glory to God. Praise his wonderful name. You know, and when Jesus said to the blind man, he'd got no eyes. He'd never had eyes. He'd never seen. He'd got sockets. But there was nothing in them. And he said, open his eyes. And eyes appeared. And he could see. 12 lepers.
Ten
lepers, sorry. There were two others beforehand. And fingers missing, ears missing, nose missing. They were just, body parts were falling off them. toe's missing. And he said, go and you show yourself to the... He says, you're healed, go and show yourself to the priest. And one's going like, I'm healed. Well, you know, I've still only got two fingers. But he said, the word of God says, as they went, they were healed. Suddenly one looks and says, last time I looked at my hand, there were only two fingers on there. He said, now I've got four fingers and a thumb. Am I seeing things or what? Oh, hey, they've grown on this one as well. And he says, and as they went, they were healed. And two came back and gave thanks. This is what the power of God can do today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what happened for those lepers can happen today for somebody else. Because he's a miracle working God. That's who and what we serve. And we need to tap into those, that source and that relationship and that power through this book, through our relationship with him, and we will see signs, wonders and miracles. I'm completely, absolutely sold on it. Nobody, I have been told miracles are no longer for today. Well, I'm sorry, I have to keep seeing them. Healing's not for today. Well, I'm sorry, I keep seeing it.
If you remember, Smith Wigger had sent somebody to get some shoes, didn't he? And he got no feet, and his feet grow as again. He didn't put the shoes.
That's right, yeah. Went to the shoe shop, and chap says to him, what size do you want? He said, I don't know. He said, what size do you reckon? So he told him, brought him, he says, I'll have a pair of them. He brought him out, put his two stumps in, and his feet grew and fitted the shoes. Hey, our God is a God of miracles.
Yes.
That's my God. That's my Jesus.
And he's rule over all the earth.
And he's going to rule and reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. And it says, and we shall rule with him.
Amen.
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 Praise his wonderful name. So get excited this week. Tell somebody.
Yes.
Tell somebody. Bring conviction. Tell them about Jesus and the love of God, and they need to get saved. Glory to God. See the salvation of God. Lay hands on them. You're not the healer. He is. Just you be the conductor. Lay hands on somebody. Somebody said, I'm not well. Can I pray for you? You'll either scare them out of the room, or they'll say, well, yeah, you can't do any harm, can it? No, it can't.
No.
There's no adverse side effects from prayer. Read the drugs label. You could die from taking this drug. Could cause heart failure. Oh, really? Yeah. Could cause liver failure. Really?
Yeah.
Could cause your kidneys to... Oh, I don't think I should take this. Better off without it. Just take prayer at times and let soak in that power of God and be healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. I just love it. I just love the Word of God and just love what it does. Praise his wonderful name.